Chapter 54. They stood together tenderly as though it was the first time and watched a young moon rise in the east, guessing the destinations of the ships beating steadily downriver. Overhead, the two red lights, signifying a vessel moored over a wreck, burned from the mast, giving them just enough glow to make out each other's faces.
"I never knew it would come to this," Heidi said softly.
"You created a ripple effect," Pitt responded, "and it's still spreading." She leaned against him.
"Strange how the discovery of an old, crumpled letter in a university archive could touch so many lives. If only I'd left well enough alone," she whispered.
Pitt put his arm around her and gently squeezed. "We can't look back on the ifs. There's no profit in it." Heidi gazed across the water at the Canadian destroyer. The decks and box-like superstructure were brightly lit, and she could hear the hum of the generators. She shivered as a drifting patch of fog crept in across the river.
"What will happen when we overstep Commander Week's deadline?"
Pitt held up his watch to the dim mast lights. "We'll know in another 20 minutes."
"I feel so ashamed."
Pitt looked at her. "What is this? Cleanse the soul hour?
That ship wouldn't be out there if I hadn't blabbed to Brian Shaw.
Remember what I said about ifs."
"But I slept with him. That makes it worse. If anyone is hurt, I..."
The words escaped her, and she fell silent as Pitt held her tight. They did not speak again until, a few minutes later, a low, polite cough tugged them back to reality. Pitt turned to see Rudy Gunn standing on the bridge wing above.
"You'd better come up, Dirk. Weeks is getting pretty insistent. Claims he sees no evidence of our departure. I'm running out of excuses."
"Did you tell him the ship is swept by bubonic plague and mutiny?"
"No time for humor," Gunn said seriously. "We also have a contact on radar. A ship steering out of the main channel in our direction. I fear our luncheon guest has called up reinforcements."
Weeks stared through the bridge windows at the incoming mist. He held a cup of coffee in one hand that was half full and turning cold. His normally easygoing disposition was stretched to the limits by the annoying indifference of the Numa ship to his requests for information. He turned to his first officer, who was bent over a radar scope.
"What do you make of it?"
"A large ship, nothing more. Probably a coastal tanker or a container ship."
"Can you see its lights?"
"Only when they climbed over the horizon. The fog has cut them off."
"The curse of the St. Lawrence," said the first officer. "You never know when the fog decides to shroud this part of the river."
Weeks trained a pair of binoculars on the Ocean Venturer, but already its lights were beginning to blur as the fog bank rolled in. Within a few minutes, the Venturer would be completely obscured. The first officer straightened up and rubbed his eyes.
"If I didn't know better, I'd say the target was on a collision course."
Weeks picked up a microphone. "Radio room, this is the captain. Patch me in on the safety call frequency."
"The contact is slowing," said the first officer.
Weeks waited until he heard the bridge speaker come on and emit a low crackle of static. Then he began transmitting. "To the ship on an upriver course bearing 017 degrees off Pointe-au-Père. This is the HMCS Huron. Please respond. Over." His only reply was the muted static. He called two more times, but there was still no reply.
"Down to 3 knots and still closing. Range 1,200 yards.
Weeks ordered a seaman to sound the inland waterway fog signal for a ship at anchor. 4 blasts of the Huron's horn whooped over the black water. 1 short, 2 long, 1 short. The answer was a prolonged shriek that cut through the fog. Weeks stepped to the doorway, his eyes straining into the night. The approaching intruder remained invisible.
"He appears to be slipping between us and the Ocean Venturer," the first officer reported.
"Why in hell don't they answer? Why don't the fools stay clear?"
"Maybe we'd better throw a scare into them."
A devious gleam came into Weeks' eyes.
"Yes, I think that might do the trick."
He pressed the mic's transmit button and said, "To the ship off my port stern, this is the HMCS destroyer Huron. If you do not identify yourself immediately, we shall open fire and blow you out of the water." Perhaps 5 seconds passed. Then a voice rasped out of the bridge speaker in a pronounced Texas drawl. "This is the USS guided missile cruiser Phoenix. Draw when you're ready, partner."